Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio Show, as we're presenting a special series on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. Welcome, and we're so glad that you joined us for today's part 5 of this very special 6-part series. I'm your host, Havila Malone, your success coach, and really here to help you and guide you through this process of going through these 17 principles for success. And we also have some very special Mastermind Alliance guests who are on this particular show as well, and I'm going to be introducing you to them very shortly. But before we get into that, have you ever spent 20 years of your life in pursuit of one thing? Have you ever spent 20 years of your life in pursuit of something that you were so passionate about that you literally did it for free? Well, we're talking about Napoleon Hill and his pursuit of gaining the philosophy for success, the one that we're going to be sharing with you throughout this entire special series. And if you're listening to this call today, then you have literally struck gold. Yes. Napoleon Hill took 20 years of his life to go and find every bit of information, every bit of insight that would formulate a principle, would formulate a philosophy that could teach people how to easily achieve success, so that you didn't have to do all of the strenuous and hard lifting and labor and work. He literally went out and talked to over 500 of the most successful people of his time. We're talking Thomas Edison, Theodore Roosevelt, yes, the president, Andrew Carnegie, Henry Ford, yes, so the Ford automobile, all of these incredible individuals who were just really pioneers of their time and who brought us some of the most successful inventions and discoveries as well as processes that have helped us to be able to truly have a revolution in our economy and the way that we live our lives. So he had opportunity to gather with these individuals and pick their brains, get what they did personally, what they did spiritually, what they did, how they handled their emotional and mental aspects of their lives. What did they do that helped them to be successful? And through that research, through those intimate collaborations and contact that he had with those individuals, he boiled down the science of success that we are now bringing to you through this Your Right to Be Rich series. And today, with part 5 of the series, what we're going to be going through is how to use failure as a stepping stone. Isn't that going to be extremely important within your life? Because have you ever experienced failure or defeat in something? And how you can flip that around and get the equivalent benefit of that failure and use it as a stepping stone for success, as well as how to align yourself with nature's laws, so you can flow through life and harness the power of your imagination. Time to be a kid again? Well, that's what we're going to be going through on today's part 5 of the Your Right to Be Rich series. And I want to introduce to you our Mastermind Alliance guest that we have on the phone today, because they are going to be bringing you such rich insights, such valuable information that you can apply within your life so that you can achieve the success that you're looking for and really tap into your own greatness. So we have, of course, Ms. Ann McNeil, who is the founder of the International Mastermind Association, which is all about propelling forward the principles of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, which you may be familiar with. She's also a very successful entrepreneur. She's the owner of MCO Consulting, as well as MCO Construction and Services, who has a portfolio over $110 million. She's been featured in USA Today, as well as appearances on ABC World News, and been featured in Black Enterprise Magazine. She's a speaker, both known locally and nationally, and is really here to be able to give us some tremendous insights. So we're excited to be able to have Anne as a part of our Mastermind Alliance. We also have with us Ms. Sandra Richardson, who's an inspirational growth instructor with a Rich Consulting firm, and the existence of that firm is really to be able to pay it forward, to be able to bring information to individuals that will help them to break records, to be able to move further, faster towards their goals. And she has a wealth of experience that she's going to be bringing to us through these principles that we'll be discussing today. And, of course, we have one of our fan favorites, Ms. Hillary Vargas, who is a life coach, a motivational speaker, and a youth mentor. She's the founder of Ms. Hillary's Kids, which is actually a nonprofit organization that supports and empowers young adults. And those young adults may have learning disabilities or behavioral challenges or just come from, you know, a variety of different backgrounds, and they really help to go in and change the lives of these youths and show them the greatness that they have within them and how to tap into that power, which is exactly how and what we're going to be showing you all today is how to tap into the power that you already have to be able to get the things that you want out of life. And so we're so excited to have these ladies on as a part of this series. So welcome. Welcome, ladies.
Welcome. Welcome. Appreciate it.
Fantastic. We're so excited.
Kevin, it's going to be a great, great show today.
Oh, it absolutely will. These are the three principles that we'll be going through of the 17 principles on learning from adversity and defeat, teamwork, and creative vision are actually three of my favorite principles. And for anybody who's listening, if you missed any part of this series, then no problem, no worries. Just go to www.vlogtalkradio.com/masterminders, and then you can go in and listen to anything that you've missed thus far. But today, you know, it's a really great show because when we talk about learning from adversity and defeat, everyone at some point or time in their lives has faced some type of setback. Some type of, you know, you've been working on a project or you're, you know, moving towards a goal and then, like, things fall apart or they're not working out the way that you want to. But the beautiful thing about that is that every single adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. If you have a positive mental attitude and you apply it, you literally can turn a defeat, you can turn adversity completely towards your benefit if you will apply these principles. So, Hillary, I would love for you to be able to, you know, kind of share and elaborate, you know, your experience with being able to learn from adversity and defeat, especially with the work that you do, you know, and how even the youth within those programs have been able to turn their lives around by the use of this principle.
Absolutely. And I think that this principle is so important because it happens to every single human being at some point where there is going to be adversity and defeat. And I think the most important thing is remembering the attitude that you take when things don't go your way. And so when I decided to fulfill my purpose, which was to educate and help underprivileged youth, a lot of them, as you can all imagine, there is a lot of diversity and defeat in their lives. Situations of family being ill or situations of environments where they come from. And one of the biggest things is to know, in my opinion, that those diversity and defeats are a blessing. To us, I see it as a blessing from God to make us stronger to move forward, because the bigger picture, we are just getting stronger to face all the blessings. And I want to share with you a particular story that happened to me, which was a big testimony of test in my life. 3 years ago, I was at the epitome of my success. I was working at a school. It was one of those times where I was just moving forward and things were going absolutely great, which I'm sure that all of you can relate to. And then out of nowhere, one day I fell. And I personally didn't think too much of it. And then suddenly, you know, I find out I have a tear meniscus. And because I have a chronic illness, rheumatoid arthritis, I find out that my life is about to take a whole different turn. And I had to have surgery. And to make the story short, I ended up in bed for 6 months, having to restore the basics of walking again, the basics of getting my body to where it used to be before, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I had two choices at that time, either to become a victim and be defeated by this accident and tell myself, I cannot push forward, I cannot start my nonprofit, I cannot be Miss Hillary anymore, or I had to push forward and know that this was a blessing in disguise, and then with the strength and grace of God that I could overcome it. And Napoleon Hill talks great about the examples of people who've been very successful, and in the mix, and right as they're getting closer, something will happen to sharpen it and to strengthen to see what you do with it. What that defeat taught me was that it was a blessing, that it was my time to take a step back, and that at that moment I had to realize, what was I going to do? Although physically I may have not been 100% right there, my mind was still 150%. And what I realized is that the physical well-being needed me to take a step back. So my mind, you know, that's when I started doing more research and I got involved more with the organization and the kids. And I felt like at that point of the 6 months, I did more than I had ever done before. And something that Napoleon Hill talks about, he says, when defeat overtakes you, you don't spend all your time counting your losses. Save some of your time to count your gains, and you will find they are greater than your losses. So keep it in mind that if we turn defeat and adversity into blessings and we see that there's something good coming out of it, it will 100% time be something greater for your purpose and your dreams. And anything that's worth fighting for will not be easy at the long-term worth.
I love that. And what a great example of being able to, you know, turn a situation that seemed like it was, you know, going downward, that it was a defeat, and being able to completely turn that around. And, you know, we all have those times or examples in our lives, and it's really being able to, like, look back, because when you go through, you know, those adversities or those seeming or temporary defeats, because it doesn't become a failure unless you accept it as that. And you get stuck in that mindset. But when you can turn back and look at it and say, you know what, had that not happened, then this wouldn't have happened. Had that not happened, I wouldn't have been introduced to this opportunity. Because literally it's through those situations, it's through those circumstances that your character is built, that the character or the traits that you need to be able to get to the next level, that's when they are fostered. That's when they come to bear, come to fore, is when you have that situation that has been testing you, because otherwise you would have no need to build that muscle. You would have no need to, like, step into that courage or step into that confidence or be creative about the way that you can rectify a situation if you didn't get the opportunity to do so. Because a lot of times we get into that comfort zone. And I know between Sandra and Anne, I'm sure you have examples of this as well, even within your lives or your businesses, of how, you know, you come up to either a temporary defeat or some adversity that's faced you, and you've been able to turn that around and find the positive in that situation and where it's made it work for you.
Absolutely, Kevin, absolutely. What I'd like to go back to, though, you talked about within the seed of adversity is an equivalent or greater benefit. And you reminded me of what happens with the seed. You know, you plant that seed, adversity. You water it, you prune it, and you learn from it. And so when you think about what are the benefits of learning from the adversity, we have to oftentimes look back at what caused the adversity. You know, was it a lack of persistence? You know, because really the failure is just a stepping stone. So for a personal experience, I like to keep going to the exam. And for those who have been following us and those who have not, as a licensed general contractor, I kept taking the exam and failing by 1 or 2 points. My background is not construction, so it was not very easy for me to eventually pass. But what I learned from the adversity or from the failure, and I failed 4 times at least that I choose to remember, of course. But what happened is that because I continued to pursue passing, I had to begin to look at the reasons that I was not passing. And so I say that to say this. Once I passed the exam, I helped 5 people immediately pass that exam on the first try. Why? Because I learned from my defeat, and I dug in to look at what was I doing wrong, and I actually realized that most exams studying for the information. And so when I realized that, then I became a test taker. and understood how to take that kind of test. And as a result, going back to your seed, that adversity seed was planted. But the equivalent benefit, or the better benefit that came out of it, was much watering, much pruning, you know, and time, because time is a really, really large factor when you talk about defeat. You just cannot quit, even though it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. You got to you dig your heels in with self-discipline and really look at the reasons and write it down. Analyze, you know, what appears to be a failure, but it's not really a failure. But analyze the situation on paper. Write it down. Dissect it. Look at it. And then come to your mastermind group for help. And talking about a mastermind group, when we get to the next section, that is a really, really good way to handle and deal with adversity in terms of surrounding yourself with people of like mind and like spirit. And also going back to the first principle, which is having a definite chief purpose, which gives you the reason and the drive to push forward.
Absolutely. Having that definite major purpose is tantamount. It is so key to being able to achieve success in life. And as Napoleon Hill brings out, that literally 98% of people in the world are just drifting. You know, they're just kind of, oh, let's just see where life takes me. Oh, you know, that there's no real goal or real aim. And even if you're like, well, I don't know what my, you know, overall life purpose or goal is. What's your goal for this year? What's your goal for this month? What's your goal for this week? You know, having something very specific that you are going towards is going to help you to be able to achieve results, as opposed to just like drifting in the wind like the majority of people do. So thank you for bringing that point out. And like Anne mentioned, if you did miss that portion of this series, then you can go back to part one on the Blog Talk Radio page and be able to get more information on how you can work through and determine what your definite major purpose is. And, of course, you can always turn to Napoleon Hill's books, Think and Grow Rich, or Your Right to Be Rich, to help with determining that, because that is the starting point for all great achievements, is having that definite major purpose. You know, and as we're discussing about learning from, because we're going to be, as you go through life, then you can learn from adversity and learn from defeat, because those things are really there to help you if you allow them to. And one of the biggest inhibitors that people come up against is their fear of failure. Like, they won't even try, they won't even start, because they fear that they're going to fail. But that failure, or that, you know, that adversity or that defeat, that is really there to serve you and can help you in so many ways. And so, Sandra, did you, I'm sure you have, you know, an example or some, you know, insight into how, you know, pushing past that fear of failure, and then how being able to turn around, you know, temporary defeat or adversity, and how it can really benefit you, or there's a benefit in it, you know, if you allow there to be.
Yeah, learning from adversity and defeat is a wonderful principle for me to get involved with and to learn more of, and principally because all of the information that you can learn that can actually change your life if you actually incorporate the principle in your personal life. I found it to be very enlightening to know that failure and personal pain is something that all creatures will experience in their lives. And there's a reason for that. The reason is that if we allow that pain, that adversity, to put us in a humble state, then when we're in that humble state, then we're in a position actually to acquire wisdom and to come to a point of understanding. And I found that to be very powerful in my life, because I've been through a whole lot in my life, all of us, I'm sure, as humans, because that's what it says, that we all have gone through adversity and that with that failure. And not knowing that these principles at the time, I have allowed, failure and defeat to play a negative role in my life. But once I learned how to actually put myself in this position to realize that it was lessons for me to learn if I allowed myself to be humble, then I saw a change in the switch in how I actually was looking at and dealing with adversities, understanding, okay, this is an opportunity for me to learn something. And one of the things that was really, I guess, what was paramount and associated with that I remember reading in this wonderful book. I mean, I'm not particularly talking about Napoleon Hill's book, although Napoleon Hill's book has its own impressive record as it relates to the things that he's taught us. But he's in good company. And the book I'm talking about is the Bible. And that particular passage at Psalms 18:35, it says that, talking about infinite intelligence, it tells us a lot about infinite intelligence. And Napoleon Hill is expressing some of the same things. It said infinite intelligence actually says he, through his humility or its humility, that it can make us great. So I thought about that for a second. I said, wait a minute. Infinite intelligence, it has everything it needs. It functions on its own. It does not need any human for sustainability. But yet, through humility, the scripture says that infinite intelligence said it would, now that it comes down here and walk with us, but in that it will teach us these profound lessons. And at the end of the day, it said it can make you great. And so understanding that and putting that in my life, I knew that I could not, this was something that I could not look at on a deeper level and figure out exactly how to employ this in my life through those actual principles. Also, what I learned was that it could be a turning point in your life when you come to understand that principle, that it can actually turn your life around and those failures and those challenges or adversities. Now they can actually be beneficial for you. Not that you're looking for them to happen or you want them to happen, but they can benefit you. So I thought that was really, really something to really give more thought to than just passive reading, because now you're talking about actually changing your life. Also, it mentioned that it's something that we should not be fearful. We don't welcome it, but we don't have to fear it. So because it can actually reveal to you your most powerful access that you didn't even know that you possess. I mean, how great is that to know that there are powers that are in you that you don't even know they are there, but this principle of learning from adversity and defeat can actually reveal them to you. And that, to me, was just astounding.
That is so true, because we do have gifts and talents and powers within ourselves that, unless we're given the opportunity to tap into them, then for the most part we won't. And I know even in my own personal life or my own, you know, career, for nearly a decade I worked in corporate America and was very successful, top of my, you know, field and doing very well from all intents and purposes when you look at external evaluations of success, you know, money, prestige, status, like all of those things. But literally, internally on the inside, I was dying. Like I was, you know, always depressed. I was always, you know, it was not very fulfilling for me. And it got to the point where literally the company started having, you know, different difficulties, and our entire organization was laid off. And so I'm sitting there looking at being, you know, jobless pretty much, you know, and that for me was an adversity. It was a defeat. It was like, wait, hold up. But it also had in it an equivalent, matter of fact, not even equivalent, it was a greater benefit, because it was through that opportunity or through that circumstance that I really got a chance to stop and sit back and be like, okay, do I want to continue? Because I could have easily went right back into corporate America. I had many job offers on the table to be able to go right back into doing those things. But I was like, you know what? I'm not really happy doing this anyways. So how about I step back and decide and figure out what I really want for my life, what my true purpose in life is? And I literally took nearly 2 years where I just started working on my own personal development. And through that and through the path that ended up being carved out in that experience, you know, I became a master certified practitioner of NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. I've been able to help so many people in their lives and really pursue the things that I love and the things that fulfill me with being able to help others in their personal and professional development. But I wouldn't have done that because I was in a comfort zone. Even though I wasn't happy, I was in a comfort zone. But that adversity of, you know, being laid off literally gave me the opportunity to step into and build the tools and the traits and the things that I needed and put me on a path to be able to truly fulfill my purpose and being able to help others to break free from their, you know, mental bondage and get rid of their limiting beliefs so they can step into their greatness. So it definitely, this is a tantamount principle. It is a huge principle that we all have the opportunity to benefit from in some shape or another. And it's one that I'm extremely passionate about because you can learn from all adversity and all defeat. And for all of you who are tuning into this 6-part series on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich, we are going through part 5 of this series where we're showing people how to use failure as a stepping stone and how to align yourself with the natural laws of the universe and harness the power of your imagination. And you can tune in every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, to be able to tune into this series. We're on part 5 of this series. There's only one part of this particular series left, so you want to make sure that you catch every single morsel, bit, and piece of it. And if you want more information about the International Mastermind Association, you can go to internationalmasterminders.com, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter to stay up to date and get information that's going to be of value to you. And we're here with our Mastermind Alliance guests, with Ann McNeil, Hillary Vargas, and Sandra Richardson. And I'm your host for this series, Havila Malone. And we're going to be going right into Principle 13 of Napoleon Hill's 17 Principles for Success, and that's the principle of teamwork. Yes, teamwork, according to Napoleon Hill, is the willing cooperation and coordination of effort to achieve a specific objective. And when the spirit of that teamwork is willing and voluntary and free, it leads to the attainment of power that is very great and enduring. Yes, teamwork can truly help you to accomplish some amazing things, but how do you get people to work together in a team? How do you get that willing cooperation so that you can move forward towards your goal? So we're going to ask Anne to, you know, step in and share with us some of her insights into this particular principle on teamwork.
Well, Havila, you know, they call teamwork the mastermind alliance of two or more people who come together in a spirit of harmony that have like mind and like spirit. And you really need both of those. You need like mind and like spirit. And there's so many forms of teams, such as, you know, the armed services, corporations, associations, not-for-profits. But the team that I like to refer to for this show is the one that's mentioned in the book, and that's the one by Andrew Carnegie and Charles Schwab, where Schwab actually came to work as a laborer for Carnegie, and Carnegie had a 20-person mastermind alliance, we'll call it a teamwork, in his organization. But there was just something special about Schwab, and as time grew, you know, the history says that Carnegie ended up paying Schwab, say, about $70,000 a year as a salary, but he paid him $1 million in bonus because a team has to have an equivalent benefit for all of the partners. So when you think about a mastermind alliance or teamwork or family or church, any kind of organization that exists, there's some kind of benefit. When you're volunteering, you're getting, you know, whether it's a spiritual benefit or doing well by doing good benefit, but there's some kind of reciprocating benefit for those individuals that are involved. And another teamwork that I'd like to talk about briefly is the one that consists of call it a board of directors for your life. Just imagine if you had a team of people that supported you in living a better quality of life. And those people included some kind of spiritual advisor, some kind of health advisor, a financial or a business advisor, and you met on a regular basis just to focus on your life or your business. So those are just some examples of what teamwork looks like, and it just depends upon what kind of organization you're involved in.
Yeah, excellent. And teamwork, it really does. It builds individuals and businesses, and it provides literally unlimited opportunity for all. And even according to Napoleon Hill's principle, there is teamwork. It differs from that mastermind principle in that it's based on the coordination of that effort without necessarily embracing those principles of purpose or the principle of harmony, and those two are essential to having a mastermind alliance. And so for those of you who are interested in forming a mastermind alliance, definitely go out and check out part one of this series, which you can go to blogtalkradio.com/masterminders to get that information, or you can go to the International Mastermind Association website at internationalmasterminders.com, because that, as Anne was talking about, you know, building that board of directors for your life, or that board of directors really for your business, you know, through that mastermind alliance is essential. And if you want to achieve any kind of results or that are beyond mediocrity in life, then you're going to need the cooperation, the harmonious cooperation of others through that mastermind alliance. And teamwork is a really, it's a power-producing principle. And I know Ms. Sandra, as well as Hillary, you've had to use teamwork and been a part of teams to be able to accomplish things. And so, you know, please share with us a little bit about that and how you've been able to use this particular principle to help forward the goals that you have.
Well, one of the biggest things when you start working with youth is implementation, the teamwork. Because the biggest thing is to realize that as human beings, we cannot do it all by ourselves. Havala and Anne and Sandra might have things that they know that I may not know. And when we come together, it comes out this beautiful collaboration to go and succeed and help furthermore each other's purpose and so forth. And so when I started this nonprofit, it was really important for me to ask for that support, like Anne had mentioned, in business, in life, in nonprofit. And as when you start a nonprofit, you have to have a board of directors, which is a team. And you work together, collaborating to share ideas to how to expansion and how to serve kids more and more and how to grow. And in particular in teamwork, I think the beautiful thing is also implement this with the youth, because many times we're raised to think that it's all by ourselves. We're individualists. Instead of coming together and building this unity, where instead of having a team of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, it's a collaboration, and you actually will learn that working with others is one of the biggest assets to being successful, whether it's in corporate, whether it's in education, whether it's in politics. The President of the United States has a team that support him so that he can be successful in all the different areas of his duty to serve the country. And so the President of the United States, all the way to God, all the way to some of the most successful people, have their team. Why not you? And why not be able to share your ideas and collaborate with others in order to succeed? Another thing that I want to share is I think about it that one day, you know, I'm not going to be around. And so the team that is a supporter of Miss Hillary's Kids with the Youth will be around to keep on the legacy of the work that we're doing. And so I think it's so important to collaborate, to look at the people who you admire, your mentors, your coaches, people from the President of the United States to Martin Luther King to Gandhi. Every single person had a team. And if you don't have a team, I really highly recommend reading the principle of Napoleon Hill and gathering resources so that you can continue on being successful and collaborate with others so that you can grow in a massive amount.
Beautifully put. And really, if you're looking for, especially within a company, if you're looking for an insurance policy against failure, then a company that adopts a policy that really consolidates management, employees, and the public it serves in the spirit of teamwork is sure to win. Because literally, it's a give-and-take process. And when everybody is put in a position where they are winning and can have that self-expression and be a part of that process, then it's literally an insurance policy against failure. Because teamwork, it produces power. But the question really lies as to whether that power is either going to be temporary or it's going to be permanent. And that depends upon the motive that inspired the cooperation. And so if that the motive that inspired the cooperation is to cooperate willingly, then the power that's that's produced by that team is going to be something positive and it's going to endure. But if it's not, then the what's going to happen is that it's not going to continue, it's not going to endure, and it's going to end up falling apart. So it's really important for everyone to try to create in every situation like a win-win opportunity when it comes to working within teamwork. And Sandra, I'm sure that you have, you know, have experience in this before, you know, with managing teams and working with teams, you know, how important that teamwork is. Yeah. And as we get Ms. Sandra on the line, you know, it really is important for you to be able to bring those, you know, aspects together because teamwork is the sharing part of what you have. And it's sharing the part of what you have that's going to be good and it'll be good for everybody who's involved. Wouldn't you agree, Ms. Sandra?
Yeah, absolutely. On the subject of teamwork, it definitely is a very important principle to incorporate in your life if you're going to achieve any level of success, especially when looking at what Napoleon Hill says about it. The definition, he defines team workers as bridge builders. And part of the personality of a bridge builder is that they're unselfish individuals. They have no issues actually working with teams and looking for the looking for the good of all that is involved with the teamwork. They have a very willing spirit of cooperation and that it is not forced. And that has to be absolutely important, that it's not a forced participation that you have, because that spirit will be there. It will be obvious, and it will interfere with the overall goal of that specific team. And then also he mentioned there that talked about travelers, how many of us are travelers on the road to happiness. And that actually had me thinking about that movie that Will Smith was in. And I think the name of the movie was The Pursuit of Happiness. And what he demonstrated in that movie about happiness, that happiness came with a price. And that if you know, he wasn't free. He was looking for freedom, financial freedom, and all sorts of other freedoms along with that financial freedom. And one thing he taught was teaching his son. He told him, say, if you got a dream, you got to protect that dream. And if you want something, he said, you have to go for it, period. And so on that road of travelers, there are many starters and there are many finishers. And then what we have to decide is which one that we are. Are we starters or are we finishers? And most people are starters. And it's important that we define that. And we know if we are, not by our past behavior or endeavors that we've gotten involved in and how did we treat them. You know, did we abandon them when it got tough or whatever? That we have that tenaciousness to keep going in the pursuit of our goals. But when it comes to teamwork, it showed that then when you get on that road, one thing that you're going to need is folks that are going to cooperate with your dreams, individuals that have like minds, that you know, have the same kind of mindset that you have, and that you work as a team to actually get those things done. And also to remember now, as you make that decision as whether or not you're a starter or a finisher, then either way you choose, that unfailing truth will come to the surface because of the incorporation of the concept that if you can conceive it, believe it, you can achieve it. So whichever outcome that we have, remember that came from us. So we have to make a decision, and if we want to be finishers, there are principles, not just the teamwork principles, there are principles that if we incorporate in our life, then we'll become finishers. And look for finishers, look for folks like yourself, people that you know to be finishers. Even when failure, defeat, or whatever comes in, you see them still going after it, and that's what you're trying to achieve yourself. So associate yourself with those kinds of individuals and be determined to accomplish your goal and to remember that it really is all about teamwork. Without that, the dream does not work. And pretty much that's it. And so not to forget the spirit of teamwork, because it is powerful.
Teamwork makes the dream work. I love it. Love it. Awesome. And for all of you who are listening, you are tuning into the International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Radio Show with our very special series on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. We're here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, bringing you the 17 principles for success. And today we've been talking about how to learn from adversity and defeat, that power of teamwork, and we're about to go into a discussion on creative vision. Oh, yes, this is the powerhouse of the principles and the faculties of the mind is truly that imagination. And you can always tune into this series by going to blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. And if any part of the series, the six-part series that you have missed, no worries. You can find it right there. And so this principle on creative vision, like literally one of man's greatest gifts is in his thinking mind. It's his ability to not only control his own mind, but to be able to harness his imagination. And literally in the past 50 years, we have seen the imagination harnessed more of nature's powers and miracles than at any other time, from the ability to be able to literally get from New Orleans, where I'm located, to Los Angeles in a matter of hours via a plane. Yeah, when the Wright brothers imagined the ability to be able to be up in the air like a bird and fly and get there, that came out of the use of the imagination, as well as the fact that we can see even at nighttime, when there's no light, we can use that electricity for there to be light. So we have the ability to tap into two faculties of the creative mind, which is that through the synthetic imagination and that through the creative imagination. And so we're going to have a great discussion on this because literally we get to be kids again and tap into that power that we have within to be able to create the world and create the life that we truly want. And so definitely, Anne, because I know this is one of your, you know, favorite chapters and a favorite principles as well on that creative vision. So not only the importance of, you know, that imagination and how do you tap into and use that imagination and how important is it to success?
Well, Havila, one of my favorite authors, Julia Cameron, wrote a book entitled it talks about morning pages. And when you think about creativity, the title of the book is The Artist Way by Julia Cameron. The Artist Way by Julia Cameron. And the reason I mention that is because when you think about creativity, and this is one of the categories that we use for the International Mastermind, and actually is the 10th in terms of creativity. But when you think about creative vision and how it actually relates to your definite major purpose, it is said that, your creativity and your imagination can only be a positive resource if you are inspired. If you question and if you're alert and you enjoy life and you wish to really, really, really drink from this deposit, the deepest wells. But think about how do you get there? And the reason I mentioned Julia Cameron is because in her book, The Artist's Way, she discussed doing morning pages. Morning pages consist of three long handwritten pages every morning when you first wake up, on whatever is on your mind. And you don't do two pages, you don't do four or five, you only do three pages every day. And the purpose of doing that is to help your creativity grow. When you talk about creative vision, just imagine how do you tap into your own personal creativity and how do you connect it to your vision and your definite chief purpose or your major purpose for your life. And we talked earlier on an earlier show about accurate thinking. And one of the things I mentioned and suggested is that, you know, all of us, especially our listeners, should consider making an appointment, a daily appointment with yourself when you're going to think. Well, the same thing applies to creative vision. Make an appointment when you're going to do exercises that relates to growing your vision. We exercise to grow our muscles, right? Sure we do, our body muscles. Mm-hmm. But when do we take time to grow our mental muscles, the vision muscle? And so for me personally, I have done this, and actually the whole idea of the Mastermind Association comes out of that creative vision, if you will, in terms of just utilizing the creativity in my own life and thinking about how do I take, and this is just recent, I mean really within the last 5 years, I never realized creativity, you have to grow it, you have to work it in order for it to grow and materialize. So for my businesses, I actually, you know, take some creative time, if you will, on a daily basis, and I think about creatively what kinds of things can I do in terms of creating opportunities, creating projects, creating businesses, creating profit, and really, if you really stop and think about it, it actually is just as important as going on an appointment with someone for business, but not taking the time to help them in a creative way to make a profit. So that's basically what I do.
That's a beautiful process, taking that time to really build that muscle, to work on that, you know, to be able to have the time, create the habit of study time or thinking time and planning time so that you can really harness the power of your creative imagination. Because it literally, if you have a creative vision, then you'll produce results. And you won't have alibis. You won't have, there's a phrase that says either you have reasons or you have results. And literally, if you have creative vision, then you are able to accomplish the impossible. There's nothing that's beyond your ability to be able to do. Because, I mean, literally, our world is built on, the world is built on ideas. It's built off of imagination. If you, whatever room that you're sitting in right now, if you look around that room, everything that you see started off in the mind of an individual. It started off as a thought or something that they created in their mind, and then it was, they ended up creating that. So whether it's the pencil on your desk, whether it's, you know, the painting that's on the wall, whether it's the room, the door that you have to open up to get in and out of that room that started off in someone's imagination, and then it was created, the way it was designed, the way that it's decorated, the way all of those things is through use of that creative imagination. And, you know, Sandra and Anne, I know that you all have had the opportunities to be able to see this principle at work within your own lives and within the lives of the individuals in which you have worked with. So, you know, share with us, you know, how, you know, you've been able to use this creative vision and your imagination to be able to do some extraordinary things.
I love this principle because it reminds me a lot of when I first had the creative vision of starting the nonprofit for underprivileged kids. And and the vision was so big. It was extraordinary, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And, you know, it was to install this family sense in kids that come and they may not have that. And so I had this huge vision painted in my mind. It was extremely creative. You know, we were going to travel, we were going to meet amazing people, it was going to be something that had not been done or heard in such a way. And this was 7 years ago. And it's such a beautiful thing to see the vision now painted and seeing it put full force, the vision that I was going to have youth and parent engagement, and the fact that we were going to be in different states and meet amazing people like the three ladies on the call and just keep moving forward. And 4 years ago, again with the creative vision, when I met the grandson of Napoleon Hill, he had signed my book, Think and Grow Rich, and he said to the youth and Miss Hillary, and at that point, the vision was still there. I had started having the mentoring program, but we didn't have the solid foundation. And that it was like the vision was slowly and shortly coming together one by one in the elements of how the universe or God wanted it to be. And I think that this is really important. I think that your vision has to be as creative, as wild as possible, because this is how some of the greatest inventors, you know, they were, we want to call them crazy, to think that we can go and build this machine where we can fly in the clouds, or we can, Henry Ford could do a car that was affordable for everyone. And build things that may have never been heard, and to the average person, it would have been crazy. So I think that go run for it. Have the most creative vision in the world. Let it be wild and crazy and big. And just know that with this and knowing your purpose, it's an implementation to fulfill your dreams.
Mm-hmm. And then we have those two types of imagination that we get to pull from in our creative processes, and that's that of that synthetic imagination and that of the creative imagination. And that synthetic imagination, it consists of a combination of like already existing or recognized ideas, concepts, plans, facts, things that are already there, but that you then arrange in a new order or you put to a new use. And then we have our creative imagination. And this one has its base in the subconscious section of the mind. And it really serves as the medium by which like new facts and new ideas are revealed through the faculty of the sixth sense. They're using your sixth sense. And we literally get to tap into infinite intelligence to be able to, you know, come up with these new ideas. But it's by harnessing our imagination and allowing that free flow of thought. And like Anne says, we want to be able to exercise that muscle. Because, you know, Henry Ford had imagination. And without that, he would have never been able to develop his creative vision. We wouldn't, it may have come through somebody else, but, you know, Henry Ford wouldn't have been able to bring us the motorized vehicle, a vehicle that literally has its own combustion engine within it to allow us to get from point A to point B. So it's like we see the use of these faculties, we see the use of that imagination all around us. And for those of you, us who are parents, you see that within your kids. Like, they will come up with just the wildest ideas, the wildest things, and you're just like, wow, where is this coming from? You know, and it's kind of like they are uninhibited in their use of their, you know, creative imagination. And it's like somewhere along the line, sometimes as adults, we start to like, oh, no, that's not based in reality. Oh, stop thinking like that. No, shut that down. Instead of allowing that creativeness, that imagination to continue to flow, because it literally is what helps to shift and change our world. So the more that we can tap into that, the better it is. And I'm sure, Ms. Sandra, you've been able to see this, you know, throughout the work that you've done as well, is that the importance of that imagination.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it, like the other guest speakers who are amazing shared with us, created vision. But one thing that I was really fascinated with is learning that its highest aim was to do what appears to be the impossible. And also that this principle seems to be hardwired in that it is programmed to reward anyone who is emotionally charged or committed to actually achieving some goal. And it doesn't care whether or not you know what you're doing, or you're following it by knowledge or by ignorance. I'll give you an example of that in a little bit. But also that the principle does not discriminate. It doesn't care about your background, about your educational background, where you're from, who you are. None of that really matters. Its goal is actually to be used to assist you to get control of your mind, which, of course, we know is a goal-seeking mechanism. And those goals, all of them which you actually train to command your subconscious mind to seek for yourself, whether they be harmful or whether they're resourceful or good for you or not, then that actually will be accomplished through that goal-seeking mechanism and the way that creative vision actually works. And if you're practicing this particular principle, and like I said earlier, whether you're doing it through knowledge of ignorance, that it is faithful and it is loyal in performing the purpose, its purpose, which is to achieve what appears to be the impossible. And for instance, I'll give you an example of that. When I actually was working for this 500 Fortune company, I didn't know that I was actually practicing creative vision when I set out to actually break this record of meeting a goal of $100,000. The first thing I did do is I did set a goal. And then the second thing I did is I got highly reorganized, because I already had some organization going, but I got reorganized at an actual higher level. And third, I actually redid the company's script. I rewrote it, totally rewrote the company's script. And as a result of that, I actually tripled my appointment book. And not only that, I actually not only achieved my $100,000 goal, but I actually in that particular year wrote $500,000 worth of sales with my company, and I was selling cemetery property. Now, I had coined that as a negative need. And because it was a product that people weren't really dying to get, if you will. And so there was, yeah. And so, you know, as a result of applying this creative vision, did not know that I was doing, it did exactly what it promises that it will do. It would actually accomplish what appears to be impossible. Because writing one individual writing $500,000 for that particular company with that product, that was really unheard of. The $200,000 maybe was kind of common. You may have gotten that. That was kind of a common thing, but not $500,000. And so, again, it was faithful. It was loyal. And it was amazing, even though, that I got the results that I got. And I didn't even know that I was applying this principle. So it underscores that if you do it, it's going to do your part. It's going to do your part. And so as a result, not having that knowledge at that time, now because I've come to understand better how that particular principle works, and through its use, I know now that I can achieve anything that I want, even that which that actually appears to be impossible.
I love that. You know, the aim of that creative vision is to do the impossible. And literally, if you look at those words, impossible, it says, I'm possible. The word itself says, I'm possible. And through use of that creative vision, you literally can make anything possible. So, and when you look at any of the great achievements that have happened, you know, everything from, you know, electricity to the airplane, to the automobile, all of those things at one point were thought to be impossible, but yet it literally could be you who are listening on this call right now. There's an individual who is listening to this call right now, and you have an idea. You have a thought of something that can literally change the face of this world, that can literally bring us into like our next level of advancement or into our next level of consciousness. You have it in you right now. So if you will allow that imagination to freely flow, you allow that to work through you and pursue it, you know, get very clear about what it is that you want to do and allow that imagination to free flow, then you can literally change the face of history and the face of this world. And you have it in you already. So I encourage you, Ancestors, to flex that muscle. And you can do that by collecting ideas, like spend a lot of time collecting ideas, continually opening your mind to new things. To the more open-minded you are, and through use of that accurate thinking, which we talked about on the last part of this series, it's going to help you to be able to truly harness the power of your imagination. And we want to thank everyone who's joined us for this part five of the six-part series on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. You can join us here on Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders every week or every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, as we are going through these 12 steps to riches and how you can truly manifest success within your life. Join us next week for the last part of this series, which is part six, where you can learn how to maintain a healthy and vigorous body The Art of Spending to Acquire Riches, and The Law of Compensation. We'll be going through those last three principles in Napoleon Hill's 17 Principles for Success. And we look forward to speaking to you next week. And remember, if you're not conditioning your mind daily, then someone else is. So figure out what you want and make it happen. And we're here to support you. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.